Pam Hopman, best-selling author and financial businesswoman, on the Business Radio Network with Empower You.
Good afternoon and welcome to Tucson Business X, Business Radio X. This is the show Empower You. I'm Pam Hopman, your host. I have an office in Tucson. I am a financial advisor, and I'm excited to announce that on January 29th, I'm doing a live program called Wealth Amplified, and it is a half-day program. It starts at 9, goes to 2, and if you'd like to find out more about that, please give my office a call at 520-326-1625. But let's get on with the show. So Empower You is designed to have conversations with ladies and men around Tucson and other places to talk about what empowers you, who empowered you, and what kinds of things lead you to feel better about your life and the world around you. So the verb, empower is a verb, and it means to make someone stronger and more confident, especially in controlling their life and claiming their rights. By the way, my guest today is Donna Reed. Donna Reed is a local realtor with Keller Williams in Tucson, Arizona. And Donna and I have been friends for the last nine years, Donna. It's been nine years. I'm celebrating my ninth anniversary in Tucson. So Donna has graciously accepted my invitation to be on the show. And we're going to talk a lot about music today and how music makes a difference and may help you get through bad times and make the good times even better. So let's talk a little bit about Donna. Donna was born and raised in a tiny town of 500 people in Northwest Ohio, Lindsay, Ohio. She was the only girl, and she has three brothers. And I was the only girl and have four brothers, so we have a lot in common. She was lucky enough to go through eight grades with the same 25 or so kids. And then in ninth grade, they joined the City Kids at the big school in Fremont, Ohio. In the 1970s, that meant going from about 25 kids to almost 600. Yeah, my graduating class from high school was 89, so wow. I sort of know. Yeah. She got good grades. She graduated high in her class and had tons of friends. And I believe that. She's very, very friendly. Her parents were married until her mother's death in 1995. And her mother had been from Chicago, and her dad was from a farm in eastern Ohio. So, you know, life was pretty good. She had that upbringing where the family stayed together. The kids were all brought up in the country and farm country. And, you know, some people would think that's an idyllic situation. But right after high school, she joined with it's a group called Up With People. And during the U.S. Bicentennial, she traveled all across the country and down into Mexico. And so for a kid who loved languages, loved people, and loved to travel, it was a perfect fit. Donna talks about Up With People all the time.
I do.
After a second year of working and traveling through Europe, she also loves to travel through Europe, she started college here at the University of Arizona. It was here that she met her husband, Gilbert. In 1980, they married and moved back to Ohio to be near her family. During those Ohio years, she had three sons. She finished her degree at the University of Toledo and lived in the same small town where she'd grown up. Her degree was in business, and she started her career working in admissions for a technical college. For the next 20 years, her job changed, but always somehow seemed to center on sales and/or management of some kind. In 2000, she moved back to Tucson, where her husband was born and raised. In 2005, she began her career in real estate and has been doing this full-time since then. She's currently with Keller Williams Southern Arizona, representing both buyers and sellers in residential real estate. She's been in the top 20% of her company for the past 10 years. She loves what she does and has a passion specifically for helping those who might need someone to help with French.
Yay!
The person who loves to travel loves helping those coming to Tucson from not only colder climates here in the U.S., but also those who are moving from across the ocean. She's been on the Agent Leadership Council for all but three of the past 10 years and specifically tends to work with the Culture Committee. She's also active in her church, St. Mark's United Methodist, as a praise team member in contemporary worship. And most recently, she served as head of the Staff Parish Relations Committee as well as president of the Campus Christian Center. One of her favorite goals this year is to work with the Inn Project, helping those immigrants coming in through the U.S. through Tucson on their way to their new homes here in the United States. That's quite a nice thing to do. help the immigrants find their way through Tucson and into the rest of the country. So I know we're going to talk a lot about you personally, but tell us a little bit about the real estate market in Tucson right now. You know, it's been very hot, and now what's going on?
You're right. It has been hot, and typically that means that homes are selling very quickly. And for a while, sellers were getting, and I say this kind of early last year, middle of last year, sellers were getting everything they wanted for their homes. They were going quite quickly. That's changed a little bit. Interest rates have inched up, not a lot, but sometimes enough that especially first-time home buyers can't afford now. They need some down payment assistance, things like that, so it slowed a little bit. And we still don't have high inventory. There are many, many people, we have a special realtor Facebook page, who are putting private posts out there that say, I have clients that need, and then they'll describe it. And I've seen everything that's on the market and, you know, looking for people. So it's an interesting time right now.
Mm-hmm. And it's the first time that the average home price in Tucson has been over $200,000, which does make it a little tougher for those entry-level first-time home buyers.
That's correct. I used to think that if somebody was paying $800 or $900 a month in rent, they could probably get into a home. And now that's a little more like maybe $1,100 to $1,300. If you're paying $1,100 to $1,300 a month in rent, then you might want to think about buying. Mm-hmm. But those days of $800 or $900, a little bit harder to find, especially if you want a specific school district or things mm-hmm. like that.
Well, and I know you've helped everybody I've recommended to you. You sold my father's home. You helped us find our home. You've helped many of my clients find their homes and sell their homes. So how can people reach you if they want to talk to you about real estate?
So first of all, being named Donna Reed is great in some respects because people remember it. But the other side of that is if you Google Donna Reed, you're going to get a whole bunch of pictures of an actress. So in Tucson, you know, you would need to look under Donna Reed, Keller Williams, Southern Arizona. And I have a business Facebook page, and the part of me that loves the French language used your realtor concierge. So it's Donna Reed, your realtor concierge on Facebook. And my phone number is 520-631-4638.
And speaking of French, how did you become such a lover of French?
You know, that's such a bizarre question for me because I grew up in a little German town in the Midwest and took German in high school. When I was in Up With People and we were performing in Mexico City, my roommate was from Brussels. And so the two of us spent a whole lot of time taking Spanish words and trying to figure out what they were. And because French is another Latin language, my roommate was able to do a lot of translation. And I just love the sound of it. So in college, I minored in French and then spent 20 years not using it. But in 2012, I fulfilled a dream and I studied in southern France in a little town between Nice and Monaco. And now I just use it as much as I can. So.
And are you a member of a club here in town?
Yes, I belong to the Alliance Française. And they do classes at all different levels. And I recently took a watercolor class. So not only was I learning watercolors, which is an art that I appreciate learning, but we were learning in French. So, you know, you kind of, when you travel, you learn vacation languages. You know, I can find a bathroom and a beer in Mexico. But when you take a specific class, then I'm learning paintbrush, watercolor, paper, things like that. So it's nice. It integrates several things that I love into one class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very, very good at finding bathrooms in French and in Spanish and Italian.
Yep,
so
exactly.
So I know what you mean by that.
We need certain things, menus and bath.
It's the old uniforms of those things. So it's a wonderful, wonderful skill to have. And I know that you enjoy working with people that are coming in from other countries. It's one of the joys you have in your business is working with those people. But you like to work with all kinds of different people, not just people moving in.
Well,
from
I do. You know, you and I are both transplants from the Midwest. And, you know, when you grew up in a place where, you know, we had 2 acres and a barn and a basement and a lot of grass and dogs that ran into the fields. And suddenly, you know, sometimes the first time you get off a plane in Tucson, you're like, oh, my gosh, where am I? And people either love the desert or they don't. And sometimes their companies are sending them here. And I love it here. So I like taking people and showing them what I love about the city of Tucson. And, you know, they might be military, they might be college, there might be many retirees, as we know. And it's just great to kind of take a piece. That's the social part of me that has nothing to do with buying and selling homes. Just likes to share the city with them.
So it's great. So anybody, if you're looking to buy a home or sell a home. Or invest in homes. Donna Reed.
Thanks.
Keller Williams, Southern Arizona.
Thank you.
So let's talk about music a little bit now and how it's impacted your life. And I know you invited me to come listen to a program you did a few months ago at St. Mark's, and it was a wonderful program. And you talked about music and how it helped you through some of the darker times of your life. But I want to start out with some of the happier times and how music impacts you. And I'm going to take a little bit of time because I grew up, as you know, I'm the only girl. I have four brothers, and I wanted to get away from them in the summer. So I started going to summer camp in northern New Hampshire. But one of the things I loved about that is everything was sung. Every meal had singing.
That's true.
Every mass we went, it was a Catholic girls camp. Every mass had singing. Every place we went on a bus had singing. Mm-hmm. And the first 2 weeks I was there happened to coincide with the last 2 weeks of the camp season, and they put on two musicals. Well, I was hooked. I ended up being there for the next 12 years.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, it really, every song. And so all those songs that I learned there, when I had my daughters, because we have three girls, I started singing those songs to them. And I would, you know, I got to the point where I would stand in the hall between the bedrooms and sing goodnight songs. And, to this day, now they have their own children and they sing to them. So,
that's great.
But, I mean, music has always been something that I've really enjoyed. And I am not going to sing because you would not want me to sing. But I did enjoy singing at the time, and especially in groups where right. I wasn't, a solo. So that would be a good thing.
I understand that.
But and then so I asked you today, I said, what about the happy songs?
Yeah. Pam sent me a text this morning, said, what songs make you happy? And at the time I was getting ready to go have my emissions tested for my car, and my brain wasn't in a happy music spot. So I told her that I tend to, because I'm a very visual person. So I glanced at the neighbor's lemon tree and immediately started singing, lemon tree, very pretty. And thinking of Peter, Paul, and Mary. And which reminded me of the many drives that we took with our kids. I have three sons. And I was kind of Broadway, 60s, Peter, Paul, Mary, and then like Donnie and Marie and all that. And my husband was Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin. So in the car, the kids would have a huge variety of songs that they listen to. And to this day, I have musician children who I think appreciate all kinds of music. Anyway, that memory, that silly lemon tree and your text just made me think about that, which then makes me happy.
And that reminded me, because when we lived in Illinois, we had a second home in Wisconsin that we would go to on the weekends. And this is when the girls were quite young. And their favorite song was the Carly Simon version of Itsy Bitsy Spider. So we had to play it over and over and over again.
So funny. Well, and when I'm going to run out of gas, I sing Running on Empty, Jackson Browne. I'm a big Jackson Browne fan. So, it doesn't take much to spur a song.
No. There's lots of songs to go. And, so as your children were growing up, there were lots of opportunities. And, yes, you do have musician sons.
I do.
And they're quite talented. They play all around.
Yeah.
You've got one in Denver now.
Yep. Actually, two are in Denver at this
point. Oh, two in
Denver. Yeah. My middle son moved up there about 6 months ago. And, singers, songwriters, self-taught musicians. I still play the same 4 to 8 chords on the guitar that I learned in 1977. And I strum mediocrely. My kids all seem to be way better at it. They frankly rehearse more than I do. And always have enjoyed the arts and music. So it is something that they've grown to appreciate a lot. And I love the fact that they are now listening sometimes to old jazz or things from the 30s and the 40s that inspire them now.
Mm-hmm. So into the music that they're creating.
Yeah.
And you were up with people mm-hmm. when you were a young adult, 18 years yeah. old.
Just a day or two ago.
Yeah, not that long ago at all. But tell the listeners just a little bit about what Up With People's mission was.
So Up With People, to try to think of the right words, there was a time in our world, probably still exists, when things weren't going right. And Up With People is there to basically cross over the borders and inspire everyone to all just get along. You know, it's what took probably this young girl who always was who I am. But once you see the world and you go and you live in people's homes and you understand that they have the same struggles that you have, no matter where they are in the world, you can't help but just want to unite the world. And that's really what Up With People is about. And the main program was through song, so we would do shows in many cities, but we lived in the homes, and you understand the trials and tribulations and also the joys, and you know, you kind of rejoice with people everywhere because we're all going through the same thing. And that program still exists, and I would venture to say is as important today as it was in the 70s.
Might even be more important with
the current situation.
The isolationism that's becoming more prevalent again, and people are being more nationalist and less global.
Right.
Not to get into politics.
No,
but it is a way of being, you know.
Right. And it's also very service-oriented. So, you know, when I traveled, I think we were in 80 homes in that year. And you would go in, you'd arrive, you'd meet your family. The next day you'd do some sort of an assembly or perform at a prison or a nursing home or something. And then do a show and leave. And the young people now go for a week. And when they arrive, they meet their family, they volunteer in the community, they do service projects to support the local nonprofits, and they really get to know the families that they're living with. So they are in fewer places, but I would venture to say that the impact is as great or greater than maybe what we did back in the 70s.
Well, thank you for doing what you did.
Thank you.
Yeah, bringing the world a little closer. So now I'd like to talk about your program because, you know, it was very touching, and I really enjoyed it, and I'd love for you to be able to do it for more people because so many people struggle, and the way you use music through your struggles is wonderful. So I'm going to ask you a little bit about that. So, you know, you ask, what's the worst thing that ever happened in your life?
Yeah.
And then you answered that question.
Yep. You know, when you stand up and you're going to do a speech in front of a group of people, it's not often that you ask them, what's the worst thing that happened? And when I did it at my office, it went from very noisy to very quiet very quickly. For some of us, I use the word peachy. My childhood was pretty perfect. You know, parents who loved each other, siblings who got along, got good grades. Pretty idyllic. My sister-in-law calls it the Beaver Cleaver world. But for some people, that's not the case. And the worst thing that happened to them might have been abuse when they were 4 or 5 years old. And for me, I didn't encounter that until much later in my life. And at that point, I couldn't even put my finger on it, you know, to begin with. It just, the mindset of the 14-year-old girl and the 18-year-old girl was changing as the years went by. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you, you know, my 14-year-old and my 18-year-old were very different too. And I also had the Beaver Cleaver thing.
Yeah.
But, life doesn't always deal you the same thing as an adult.
That's true.
So can you share a little bit of your struggles?
Yeah. So my eldest son, bless his heart, always was a little bit of a challenge. And, you know, when they're your first child, there's no book that tells you how things are going to be. And even to this day, his third and fourth grade teacher will talk to me about how different he was and what each of my kids were like. And I just thought he was very smart and a pain in the neck. And, you know, by the time he was a young adult, there were times when I was afraid of him. And he became an addict. And that addiction helped feed his creativity, which you often hear, you know, from musicians. But he had gotten to the point where he was using cocaine and alcohol combined. And I was afraid. And I couldn't imagine that this was my life, that I was afraid of my son. It just, even when I speak it, it's hard to wrap my brain around. So in the late 2000s, I don't know what year it is, in 2008, I ran away from home, Pam, and I can laugh about it now. I can, you know, because that's what we do. I can honestly say that if you've been married 28 to 30 years and you take off and you go away for a weekend and don't tell anybody where you're going, that is not a smart thing to do, because people worry. Imagine that. And shortly after that, you know, my husband and I separated and then divorced. And it wasn't long after that that my husband took his life. So the years 2008 to 2011, am I allowed to say sucked? We're not good years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just and that 14-year-old girl struggled with the fact that this was my reality. This was the life I was living, because that little girl from that little town would never have expected that this would be where I was.
And how did music help?
Songs just go through my brain all the time. And there's a song from an old Christmas cartoon. I want to say cartoon. I don't know what they were, those, you know, former kind of like the Rudolph
animated,
the Red, animated.
Yeah.
Thank you. where someone is singing, you put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking across the floor. One foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking out the door. I didn't even know what that was from. I just remember thinking, I have to put one foot in front of the other. I have to keep going. Nobody's here to take care of me. Nobody else is going to do it. It's me. And so that's kind of one of the first songs that came to me. And I think about the fact that when I talk about a tough time for me, I already mentioned everybody has tough times. And several of the songs from Up With People have also helped with that, because the lyrics were very timely and meant a lot to me. So I don't know how many lyrics you want to hear from me.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about them. But I do want to remind everybody that this radio broadcast comes from the Stewart Studio on Broadway. And this is Tucson Business Radio X. This is Empower You. And we're glad to have you listening today. So, the other thing I wanted to ask you about, I know, you know, all of this is you know, some of the tough stuff, and you had your faith, mm-hmm. you had your songs, mm-hmm. and those are the things that you've spoken about. But there's some other songs that have made a lot of things, and I liked when you talked about the things that you know, you have to put one foot in front of the other, but it really was much more than that. You had to do more than just put one foot in front of the other.
That's true.
And you know, this whole, you know, separation, mm-hmm. suicide, dealing with your oldest son, all of that put you in a position where you had to take care of not only yourself, but a few other people as well.
Yeah, that's true. When I was notified about I still say my husband, because it was so short after our divorce that I have a hard time saying ex, of his death, the truth was that they would not have notified me if Adam hadn't been living with me. Adam's my middle son, because I was sort of a non-entity at that point. And yet I was the person that was going to be the one that would handle the situation because there was nobody else to do that. And you have to just sort of compartmentalize in your life to do things. And, you know, simultaneously, my eldest had still been a challenge. And, you know, my youngest was, I think, just out of college at the time. And we had to file bankruptcy and foreclosure, which is great things to hear from a realtor, but I just want you to know we're all real people and it happens to many of us. And when you do that, you can't have more than like $150 in your checking account. And I thought, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And again, like, how can this be happening to me? So, and then, you know, one of the things that in the speech that you came and you heard me do was there's a song in one of the Up With People shows from the 1980s that's called Let the River Flow. And I can read the words or I can sing the words. What do you want me to do?
What do you want to do?
I'll sing it because it's important. So there's a spring back in the valley in a grove of shady trees. Its source is deep within the mountain. It winds a course you cannot see. And there flows a hidden river through every heart beneath the sky. It's a dream that seems to go on living. It may run low, but never dry. That's important. It's the power to keep going, the power to turn around, the power to keep growing, to see a light in the darkest night. Let the river flow. So the reason I wanted to sing that, first of all, just to read it, it doesn't mean as much in my brain. I'm still hearing the music anyway. So I think that when we deal with, I don't know, anything that I would call a tragedy, you know, in life, and that means different things to all of us. So I reached the point where I had to put a lock on my bedroom door. That was my darkest night. Because my son was in my house and I was afraid for my life. And I had to slip out the back door early in the morning when he had finally fallen asleep, and I had to call the police. And when you call the police on your child, it is horrific. It's just awful. It just is. And the mother in me, and I would venture to say the mother in most of us, does not believe that it's happening. You feel like you're watching a Lifetime movie and it's somebody else's life. It's not your own, and that you can't be in the middle of it. And so that, for me, that song makes me think about, okay, there's always a dream. There's always a future. And we have to keep going even after the darkest night. That was a big deal for me. And you've been my friend through all this. So, you know, mm-hmm. much of what I've been through.
Oh. But it's different hearing it from you, is it? In retrospect now.
Yeah.
And the way you look back at it, and the way you've turned your life around.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to that low point, mm-hmm. and you've become stronger. You've
That's
done
true.
Better. You are one of the top realtors in the city.
Yeah.
And it's always, you know, that took something. And I know there was a time there where you weren't really working that business.
No. I joke about, Keller Williams is always talking about how we should lead generate for 3 hours every morning. And for 3 hours every morning, I was Skyping with friends. I was, you know, talking to people across the country and across the world. And you know, you can barely remember those moments. You remember the people and you remember the conversations. But the whole idea that a whole morning would go by and that I hadn't done one thing related to real estate. And I still had to make a living. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I talked about the fact that my business coach would say you had to do six things a day. And number one for me was make coffee. Okay, number two was, you know, maybe check Facebook. There was nothing on my list that was related to real estate. And she said, no, it's got to be work. You've got to do work. And every day I had to do something that would move me forward in this business. That, you know, I think, you know, for the most part, I stayed in our B&I chapter. Mm-hmm. I had a small 6-week off, you know, time frame after Gil's death. But you have to keep networking. You have to keep looking for clients. You have to keep doing things, because the alternative is to disappear. And I wasn't ready to disappear.
No, and we're glad you didn't.
Thank you.
But I really like that idea of doing, you know, you don't need to have 25 things to do in a day.
Right.
If you just put 6 things together when you're coming out of something that's been really traumatic, mm-hmm. if you can just do 6 things.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is just making coffee when you're first coming out of something that traumatic, when you have a loss the way you did. Making coffee is a big deal. But a little later on, then, yeah, it was great that your business coach told you, okay, now it's got to be business.
Right.
Now you've got to come around to 6 business things. Got to make this many calls. You've got to see this many people. You've got to go to this many open houses. You've got to, you know.
Attend meetings, be a participant.
You've got to get involved.
Yeah.
You're right. Because you would have disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
But you got involved again. And so
yep.
There must be a song about that someplace.
Okay, wait. Let me see. So one of the things, my youngest son is going to be in Newsies up in Denver in another week or so. And I love the Broadway show Newsies. And honestly, I remember they sing Open the Gates and Seize the Day. It's about the newspaper kids fighting the Pulitzers. And so we almost all know what Carpe Diem is and Seize the Day. So that's a short little phrase that runs through my brain, you know, now and then. Another song that we sing a lot in Up With People was, there's going to be another day. It's not so far away. There's going to be another spring. There'll always be another song to see. You're going to see there's going to be another day. And that had to go through my brain, because if you don't believe that tomorrow is going to be better than today, then it won't be. Right?
Correct.
Because whether you believe you can or you believe you can't.
You will.
You will. That's what's going to happen. And those particular things helped move me through that. And honestly, great, I have to say, a great group of friends. You know, there was the church group. There was the business group. There was my office group. There was my Up With People friends. I am so fortunate that I had people to listen to me, you know, to help work through this and to encourage me, you know.
And don't forget your brothers.
All my brothers. Yes, all my brothers. They each have a different skill set, and they each help with a different skill set. My oldest brother is a financial guy that just says, okay, now go to work. And my younger two brothers have a little bit more heart. My oldest brother, if he hears this, he'll kill me.
Yeah, but because he has heart.
He does have heart.
Yeah.
He does. And logic, which when you're in a state of emotional confusion, you need that logic person mm-hmm. in your world. Like you, like a financial person that's good. Yeah.
So you need somebody with a logical brain sometimes. Mm-hmm. You're such a creative. I mean, you do a lot of creative things. People don't really know that about you. You paint, you sing.
I do.
You decorate. I mean, you do a lot of different things.
I do. It's interesting because I like variety. I try all different kinds of painting. You know, I think about your husband and how he's so good at what he does. And I've done a little bit of watercolor and a little bit of acrylic and a little bit of oil and painted a table and made this and made that and painted trash cans for a while, made decorative trash cans. But all of that allows you to separate from the business and the other emotion that's going on in your world. Because when you're focusing on an art or something, I don't know whether you just don't have the brain capacity to also be worrying if you're going to pay the electric bill next month.
Right.
Yeah. So that's true.
So it's a nice release for you to do that and to have that creative outlet. We all need a creative outlet.
True.
Even those of us with financial brains sometimes need a creative outlet. Mine is sometimes, this is part of my creative outlet. It's just fun to do this and to look at different things.
Right.
I know when you did that program at the church, mm-hmm. I mean, I remember the most devastating loss in my life was the death of my mother, which was very sudden in 2008. Mm. And I could so appreciate the things you were saying about how I was done. You know, I didn't care anymore
right.
about too much. Now I worked and I kept moving and I kept going forward, but it took a long time for that feeling of really, I don't really give a
yeah.
about anything to go away.
Right.
I'm glad it did go away.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot to live for, as do you.
Right.
Not that I would have ever done anything.
Yeah.
To I was never that close to that, but there was such a black cloud mm-hmm. over my day to day.
Yep.
And you know for me, I mean, I'm so glad that you have music, but for me, it was really, I had to come out of it for my children and my grandchildren.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they deserved more.
Yeah.
They deserved more, and that was a good reason to do
be
that.
A good grandma to them.
I get to be a good grandma. Yeah, yeah, that's the reason I work out 3 times a week is because I have to keep up with them. You know, there's all of that.
Yeah.
So it's fun.
Yeah.
But you had to begin. You had to think of the different things. You had to think, you know, you talk about the song that your son wrote.
Yeah, yeah. So Adam worked down at Bison Witches, which... If you're in Tucson, you probably know what that is. It's a place down on 4th Avenue. And if you know Tucson, you know that 4th Avenue is pretty eclectic, right? There's university, there's tourists, there's homeless, it's just an artsy place. And so Adam wrote a song that I love and is one of his most popular ones called Alexander O'Toole. And it's about a guy that... it's kind of based on living in 4th Avenue. It's about a guy that was born during a storm, and he was shocked by everything that was comfortable and warm. And the whole point of the characters that he writes about in the song is that they're living a life through their lens based on their experiences. And it may not be what you think they should do or what I think they should do, but it's them. It's who they are. And I love that song because I think that as a young person, even though I would like to believe that I wasn't judgmental, I was judgmental at a level. And felt like in my little, you know, tiny world that I knew how things were going to be, and I knew how people should behave, and I knew what they should do as if everything was going to be perfect. Well, bam, that's not the case, right?
Life does happen.
Life does happen. And, you know, I think all of us can remember a time when we had to adjust our point of view. One of the things that I mentioned in the speech that you heard was that I had had a neighbor kid who missed a lot of school. And my oldest always would come home and say, why doesn't so-and-so have to go to school? And I remember thinking, because he's a bad boy, because he's a little hoodlum. And... the day came when that young man took his own life by jumping off the roof of our prison in the little town where he went to school. And I thought, these were my neighbors, and I didn't know what was going on in their world. And so we have to all take a step back and think about the lens that we see life through and whether we judge other people or are we open to learning about them before making any decisions about anything.
Yeah, there's a part of you, you know, that's going to make a judgment, and you can't do anything about that. But what you can do is how you deal with it.
Right.
You can do something about that. So you can give a person an opportunity. You can get to know somebody better. Mm-hmm. Usually, when you get to know someone better, that judgment falls by the wayside.
Absolutely.
And it usually, it's like judging a book by its cover.
Yeah.
You know, you won't read the book, but maybe you're missing something.
Yeah. I think about that all the time, because since I had the knee and the hip surgery, I've worn like the same pair of shoes for, you know, 50 pairs of shoes in the closet, and I've worn the same one or two that are comfortable. And I walk out of the house thinking, do I look like a realtor? Am I dressed for success? And oh, by the way, my shoes are blue and they should be black. You know, that kind of a thing. And wonder, are other people judging me?
Well, they are. Everybody judges everybody.
Yeah.
You walk into a room, everybody in the room looks at you and makes a judgment within 2 seconds. I mean, that's just how we're wired.
Yeah.
What they do with that judgment is up to them. Right. The actual judgment that comes up for people.
Yeah.
That's how we're wired. We're just wired. Oh, she looks good. Oh, she doesn't look so good. Oh, look at that hair. Oh, look at those.
Yeah.
You know, look at those shoes. So, people are always going to judge you, but you can let that go too, because that's just part of life.
When I filed bankruptcy, my credit score had been 820 or something, and I'll never forget someone else that was in our networking group at the time said, Donna, it's not like you have a 550 tattooed on your forehead, and that when I met you, I was like, oop, low credit score, not going to talk to you. and that has stuck with me, because inside of me, that's what I felt. I felt like, wow, this person who always paid her bills now went from ta-da to, oh, who are you? You don't exist. You in our credit world. So interesting. And that's self-judgment, right? That's mm-hmm. self-imposed.
Yeah, that's self-imposed. And then you take it out to the world and thinking that people are, judging you for it.
But right.
It's all of that. And that was part of that whole downside part of your, the down, dark, down part of your life, when all of that, the foreclosure, it's like, how embarrassing.
Right.
I mean, you're the person who's paid your bills forever.
Right.
To get into a situation like that. And so many people do.
Yeah.
And then they're beating themselves up. And
yeah,
really the best thing to do is to look, okay, how can I get out of this situation? It may take a little time, but what's the smartest way to go about doing it?
And in hindsight, like everything, if you look at something through the rearview mirror, it's helped me be able to empathize with others coming out of the same situation. To be able to say, yep, been there, done that. I get it. I get that starting over is a drag. And if you're in your 50s or whatever age that is, and suddenly life changes drastically for you. It can be a death, it can be a divorce, it can be a downsizing of a company. There's so many things that whatever that little kid inside of us planned just doesn't happen. and we have to start over. And the fact that I've been able to share that actually, I think, has been helpful with some people, because they know I'm real. I'm mm-hmm. not coming from a place of nothing ever went wrong with me. Lies.
Yeah, nobody's little child, that 14-year-old, nobody's 14-year-old says, I'm going to grow up and be mediocre.
That's true. That's true.
I'm going to have a mediocre life.
Right.
And by the way, it isn't mediocre.
No.
Your life isn't, mine isn't mediocre.
No.
I believe fully that it's not. And yet it didn't go in the straight trajectory that we thought it was going to go. We didn't go from A to Z,
right.
And we're still going, by the way, so it's, we're not there
yet. We're not at Z.
But we didn't go straight up, every year's better than the one before. They're all going to be fabulous.
Right.
It's going to be the best year. And now every year I start thinking this is going to be the best year yet. And this is 2019, which is definitely going to be my best year ever.
That's awesome. And we're 7 days into it.
So it's definitely, so far, it's
so
going
far,
to be my best year ever. And, that's important.
Yeah.
You're helping a lot of people with this conversation, I know. And you help a lot of people in real estate. You help a lot of other realtors.
Yeah.
You work with them and get them to be more successful. And you do a lot of that. And you're in the different organizations inside of Keller Williams that you're in.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing that you can do that and all of the success you've had.
Thank you. Going back onto the leadership council is always good for me, because I'm not as competitive as I was as a kid. I don't have to get straight A's. And I'm willing to understand that 30-year-olds have more energy than I do. So, and they might want to manage a team of 20 people, and I don't want to do that. However, I also think that there's always the wisdom that comes with experience. And the, yes, you're going to have a bad day, and then tomorrow's going to be a good day. And I think that one of the songs I talked about was from Shrek, the musical, where the princesses are in the castle and they're just singing, I know it's today, it must be today. There are days I wake up and I'm like, come on, God, I know it's today. Whatever that is, whatever the it is, you know? So maybe it's a new client, maybe it's a sale, maybe it's I lost a pound. I don't know. But always thinking, okay, what's today going to bring?
Mm-hmm. Well, you and I have that personality that glass is at least half full,
right.
Usually much more
that's
than
true.
Half.
That's true.
That's part of the way we approach our life. We're what's called a visionary. When you read the books, the business books, we're called the visionaries because we're the ones who are always looking at, okay, how can we change this and make it better? How can we make this better? How can we make that better?
And then I need somebody to help me do that.
And that's
the integrator.
Yeah. So,
yeah. So detail-oriented person that takes my ideas and helps implement them.
And knows which ones to take,
this
by
is
the
true.
Way, and which ones not to take.
Right.
So that's important
Don't do
as
that,
well.
Donna.
Yeah. That's how we can be leaders and then not actually crash and burn. You know, I have another mentor who once said, if you are bored with what you are doing, you are playing too small a game.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
So you need to play a bigger game.
Variety. You and I talked about that last week mm-hmm. when we met, didn't mm-hmm. we? Like, what's going to be different in 2019 that keeps us motivated and excited? And yeah, yeah.
Yes. And so that is, what is the big game you want to play this year? Everybody should be thinking about that.
Yeah.
How can I make my game a little bigger? What can I do? Is it go out and make a difference in somebody's life? Is it to increase your business? Is it to have more time with your family? You know, what is going to
yes,
be the
yes,
bigger
yes.
game? Well, it could be all of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's no reason why you can't go for all of them, but it's good. You know, that's part of what I do when I work with the Wealth Amplified program is I work with people to set financial goals, but also personal goals.
Right.
And then how to achieve them. What are the steps to get there? And where should we be looking to make sure we're reaching those goals?
Right.
And, you know, the whole thing about reaching goals is it's the travel in between and the things you find out about yourself trying to go for those goals.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if you're not playing a big enough game, you get bored.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get bored really easy.
I do,
so
too.
That's one of those things.
The I personality in us, right?
Yeah. So what's a song that would help us, in, you know, as we go out to 2019 and we're looking at some of the things that could happen?
So this is the one from Wicked. Would you like?
I like this
yeah,
one.
Yeah. And for those of you that are Broadway aficionados, you probably have heard this song. And I like to pretend I'm Kristen Chenoweth, except she's about half my size. So,
but she is blonde.
She is blonde. Yeah, with a powerful voice. And it talks about why people come into our lives. And I think about that with you, Pam, because you have been such a great referral source for me and a great friend and a great person to bounce ideas off of. So I've heard it said that people come into our lives for a reason, bringing something we must learn, and we are led to those who help us most to grow if we let them, and we help them in return. Well, I don't know if I believe that's true, but I know I'm who I am today because I knew you. And that song goes on.
I love the way they play on words in that whole musical.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too.
They play on the words. They change them around and, you know.
Yeah. Who would think that this type of a show would create a song that could mean so much to so many people? It's like I remember singing a lullaby from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang to my kids. Right? You don't know where those words. And thank God, right, for writers and lyricists who can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And inspire us.
I remember singing songs from Guys and Dolls.
Yeah.
The same thing. It's just one of those funny things. And no, I am not going to sing. It's one of those things that I'm giving you all a gift by not singing. But we can look at 2019. One of the things we can look at, and if we take that song to heart, is the people that come into our life this year that will turn out to be true gems.
Right.
That will be, help us on our journey, help us reach the goals that we want to reach.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's wonderful that music plays such a big role in your life, and yeah. I know it does in my life.
Yeah. And I think there's probably many.
And I think there's more people that it is. Let us know if send me an email. Let me know if music is a big part of your life. And what's your favorite inspirational song?
Yeah.
What's your favorite inspirational song?
Oh, gosh, that's so hard. There's always church songs because there are things from church that motivate me. I don't know. I don't know if I can think of one. I'm very much an in-the-moment person and inspirational song. Tell me yours. I don't know, Pam.
Well, the one I'm thinking about, and I can't even remember the lyrics, and I can't remember the title right now, but I can remember that every time I hear it, it really inspires me, is the one by Katy Perry that came out in the last couple of years. And it's it came out right before the Olympics, the last...
Oh, my.
That's from Roar. Anyway, it's a song about being a champion.
Mm.
And... it makes me want to try harder. It makes me want to do better for everybody that's in my life.
Right, right. So it starts with us, and then we expand it to the world.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you get, songs can inspire us. Artists can inspire us. I like the old time stuff a lot, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I listen to the old jazz. I listen to some, Frank Sinatra.
Yep.
A lot of that. And I know you do too, the lyrics.
Yep.
And I was thinking about this whole thing, and now this may be wrong, somebody can correct me on this. I was thinking about how when we were younger, and I am a little older than you, but when we were younger, songs had lyrics that you never stopped singing.
It's true.
And now, I don't know if that's so true anymore. I mean, for instance, I know the camp exists that I went to as a child.
Yeah.
I don't think they sing all the time like we did.
Oh, wow.
I mean, we had songs for everything.
Waking up in the morning,
oh,
having
yeah.
lunch. Yeah.
Every everything had a song. Every yeah. place we went had a song. Every bus ride had a song.
You'll have to find out whether any of the listeners have songs, like kids going to camp if they're coming home with songs.
Well, and because this camp, at the end of the, they had divisions. So there was a junior division, an intermediate division, a senior division, and then, of course, there were the counselors. And each division put on a play at some time during the summer.
Oh, yeah.
And it was always a musical. So a lot of the camp songs were actually from musicals. Like, we would sing from My Fair Lady. There was a song that we used to sing.
Nice.
We sang from Cinderella. We sang from all of these different ones. When we got on a bus, people started singing, and you would know the words if you yeah. were on that bus more than an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A year or so ago, I was showing houses to Connie, who used to be in BNI with us, mm-hmm. and her brother was here. And so he didn't speak English. He only spoke Mandarin. And so I said, oh, I know a song in Chinese. So I sang a song in Chinese, and he thought I spoke Chinese. And I'm like, no, I know that's a song about a river. And I memorized it phonetically, and that's pretty much it. But he felt so connected because I was able to do that with him. So music is a connecting tool.
It is a connecting tool. It connects us to each other. It connects us to our souls. It connects us to our desires. It's just it's a wonderful, wonderful tool.
Agreed.
Any last song?
So long, farewell, love eaters, and goodbye. I don't know.
Now we're gonna do that one too, which
yeah,
is Julie Andrews and
the Sound of Music.
Plummer,
yeah,
Sound
we'll be
music.
We'll be singing
okay.
that the rest of the day.
We're doing the old one though.
I could be like goodbye.
Yeah, that camp I went to, I actually played Liesel in that play.
Ah, 16 going on 17.
Yeah, we had to do that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was totally embarrassed, but yes, we did do that. It was fun. But all those songs, I think, the other part is, I don't keep in touch with people from when I was a kid anymore. But we have those songs in common still. And so when I do finally meet up with someone, we talk about those times and we talk about the fun. And you know, I went to my high school reunion for the first time. I've never gone to a high school reunion, and I went this year to my high school reunion. And I was like, oh, this is going to be, I don't know, I really want to go. My best friend from high school contacted me, who I haven't seen since high school, and said, come on out, you know, because I went away to school and then I moved away. And so I did go, and I spent time with her, and I spent time with a lot of the other ladies that I had gone to high school with. And it was an all-girls Catholic high school, 89 graduating class. We had about 30 at the reunion, and we're talking about
that's pretty good percentage.
A few decades later. Mm-hmm. And they were so they were so nice to me. They were so warm. They were so welcoming. And there was none of this, you know, I'm better than you are, and that I expected, because I've always, you know, heard about high school reunions where everybody's trying to, you know, look like they're still on top of the world or whatever, and maybe they're not.
They can still play football. They can still, whatever.
We didn't have football.
Not the girls. Okay.
Yeah, we had basketball, but not football. But it was one of those experiences where the connection was there, and we talked about songs, and we talked about some of the things we had done and the plays we had put on, and the you'd think I was more of an artist, but I'm actually not. And everybody was really surprised about what I was doing with my life, because nobody knew. It was a big surprise. But music, memories, they're all connectors.
That the little school that I went to, where I said there was 25 kids, I think I told you that we got together for the first time a couple of years ago. And it's sort of like the family you don't choose, right? You're thrust together in this class. And I was a townie in town with the farm kids who were a mile away in the country. And we ended up talking about our music class, because our music teacher is still alive. She's 98 years old. And all of the composers were around the top of the room. And this made me think about how I had ideas about who those kids were at 14. One of the men said, remember when we learned in the Hall of the Mountain King, or remember when we learned this or that? And I didn't think that kid paid any attention in music class. And so here he's talking about singing songs to his grandson that we learned in elementary school from a music teacher who taught us the composers, taught us about Haydn and Liszt and Bach and Beethoven. And it amazed me. And that's a music memory from fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade. I think that's fascinating. So.
That's a great way to end our show today. Music is a connector.
It is.
And it keeps us connected for generations.
It does.
And so, Donna, thank you for being here with us. And how can people reach you again?
My phone number is 520-631-4638, 4638. And my website is Reed Tucson, R-E-E-D, Tucson. And Tucson is T-U-C-S-O-N.
Tucson.
Tucson.com. Yeah.
Well, thank you. And this show will be up on Tucson Business Radio X in the near future. I've enjoyed hosting it.
Thanks,
and I'm looking forward to the next time we get together.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.